radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, March 24th, 2025. I am Paul Gallant, and this, he said as he popped yet another Ricola into his mouth, is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You know how to get aboard. You can call in on the HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776, to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN975. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass. We are back in studio today after a couple of shows on the road. We'll have some shows on the road this week. Thursday, we're going to East River 9. Looking forward to watching more March Madness out and about at one of our favorite stomping grounds. Sean, I'm going to need a little something. Something a little special. Because, as expected, our beloved Cougs took care of business not once, but twice, to open up the NCAA tournament. A-R-S. Who the hell is that? It's the mother-loving Cougars! Again, C-O-U-G-A-R-S. Who the F is that? It's the mother-loving Cougars! That's right, guys. The number one seed in our hearts, third technically number one seed in the tournament, Cougs. They hung on for dear life to an 81-76 victory over Gonzaga on Saturday. Watch that game out at Kirby Ice House to advance to their sixth straight Sweet 16. I'm going back and forth on how I should feel about this one, because did that game not feel as easy as possible until the very, very end? Truly, I thought, given how well L.J. Cryer was shooting, what do you have, 30? And given how easy it was for Juwan Roberts underneath, I watched that game against a Gonzaga team that at least is coached by Mark Few and, you know, knows what they're doing out there. With how easy those first 30 or so minutes of that game were, I really thought to myself, this is the year. Cryer is bombing away from outside. He cannot be stopped. Every single time, it felt like the Bulldogs got a sniff of life. Splash. Cryer made him cry. Then, yeah, Juwan Roberts was driving the lane, and he was putting together some of the more impressive moves underneath the hoop I've seen in a while, and he seemed to be automatic. And then the end of the game happened. And I don't want to rain on the parade too much, because they're on to the Sweet 16, which is where, for our Cougs, the first round of the NCAA tournament begins. Their sixth straight Sweet 16 appearance. But at the very end, the pressure that the Bulldogs put on them has me a little bit nervous. I can't be the only one who feels that way, because the end of that game, oh God, it got very stressful. I was holding on to my above-average-sized donk, holding on to my butt for dear life. And, of course, the Cougs ultimately won that one. But I do wonder if that's the blueprint to stopping the Cougs in the tournament. You want to chime in, you can. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Sean Mapes, your thoughts on a game where it looked like the Cougs were going to run away with it, and then all of a sudden the Zags started playing some really impressive full-court pressure defense, forcing traps. And then the Cougs didn't know what they were doing with their hands.
Yeah, it was a classic game where, like you said, like the first 30 minutes, you're just like, okay, they're doing a good job keeping them under arm's length. Basically, at that point of the tournament, what 90% of the tournament games had been so far this year, where they normally higher seeded team gets up 7 to 9 points
and then
just kind of keeps them there and then wins. Pretty, you know, lack of drama, except Houston, this time, they decided, let's not score for the last 5 minutes of this game. That was a meltdown that, like, it is a college basketball style meltdown. Like, teams do this a lot. But it was so weird to see this team do this, I guess. Especially I forgot who threw the pass, but it was like with a minute left, the cross court, like they're trapped at half court on one side, throw it like cross court and it gets deflected.
Barely deflected by a Zags player.
Yeah, but it was like, oh my God, I think it was it Uzan that threw it?
I think so.
That you're just like, what the hell are you doing? Like, why would you think that would work?
Their brains broke. And you know, I'm happy they advanced, but their brains broke. They were doing the thing that we bitch and moan about when you dribble past half court and you're like, oh yeah, I just needed to get past half court. No, you need to keep dribbling. You gotta run away from the traps. And the Cougs did this thing where they would cross half court and then they would just stop. It's like, what are you, me? Without a left hand dribbling past half court in a pickup game? Like, come on. You don't stop. Keep moving. Keep passing. And I don't know what it was that Mark Few and the Zags, who again, well coached, they've been in this tournament to the Sweet 16. This is the first year in 9 years, I think, that they didn't advance to the Sweet 16. Like, it's a good team. It's well coached. But jeez, that was a lot. So I'm happy about the victory. They play Purdue, the latest game in round two, on Friday night.
Yeah, Friday at like 9:30.
Ugh, gross. Gross. I think this is the time that the Duke game was last year, too. Wasn't the Duke game
The Duke late? Game was late. I don't know if it was this late, but it was late.
I think it lent itself to certain very loud sports talk radio callers, perhaps drunkenly thinking that if they turned their ankle like Jamal Shedd did, they could actually play on
it.
But we don't talk about that anymore. It was a big win. I love what I'm seeing from LJ Cryer. He's definitely their best player. What a performance. 6 of 11 from outside. I loved what I saw from Juwan Roberts underneath. I did not know that he had that in his bag. Like some of the stuff he was doing, some of the moves and shots he was making, they were high difficulty shots that he was shooting from, like not just under the basket, but he was basically like flicking it at the basket as if he was playing beer pong or something like that. And these weird round, like hooked roundabouts. Those were impressive things to see. But I need them to not all of a sudden forget who they are in the last five minutes of the game.
They can't do that. Maybe they can do that against Purdue, but they definitely can't do it against would it be Alabama mm-hmm. or BYU next? Like right. that, you can't get away doing that for so long. And it is a Gonzaga team that, like you said, well coached. Obviously, like they have good players on there, but it's not at the level that they should be challenging the Cougs the way that they challenged them the last 5 minutes.
Good news is probably Kelvin Sampson sees that, and they're going to have a hard week of practice.
Yeah, it's a little bit of like a win where you're like, okay, good, they can lay into them.
Because they've won a million games in a row. I mean, what is this, 23, 24 games in a row, it feels like at this point in time. It's a lot. 15th consecutive, same thing. You know,
I was going to say, this is like an early Texas Tech game that they lost.
Right. It's been a while, and it was against Texas Tech. So they advance. You want to weigh in on the Cougs, 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Purdue beat McNeese State, and that student manager, Amir Khan, who's making six figures, kill me. Kill me. Nope, just kill me. Some dorky little chubbo student manager who has a cool boombox, is making six figures. I will bitch and moan about that. Yeah, I'm jealous. I'm a hater. I want what he has. I hate you. I hate you. I don't even know your guts. And I hate you, sir.
Yeah, that one, I feel like he's a symptom of there are no true Cinderellas in this tournament.
Yep.
Where it's like, we're really pumping the gas on this kid who, again, his team did not make the Sweet 16. They were the first team eliminated in the second round.
Yeah.
Like, it was like the shortest lived 15 minutes of fame that you can have.
Got six figures out of it.
Hey.
Didn't even have to join an OnlyFans.
That has to be like tax write-off stuff for Buffalo Wild Wings, right? Like, how is it even possible that he is worth six figures when his team loses, his team that he's not even on, he's the student manager for, loses like before 2 p.m. on Saturday?
Because
it's tax write off.
God hates us all. Oh, okay, gotcha. Okay. Well, it's that. It's a tax write off. Okay.
I'm assuming. At least Jack Golke, like, he made those shots.
Yes. I'm sorry, student manager getting a 6-figure NIL deal.
And then during the game, he was sitting in the stands. Like, he wasn't
even a student manager.
No, he wasn't, like, getting towels or whatever.
It was a rough first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament. I have it by the numbers, just how rough it was. Why has it been rather disappointing outside of what our beloved Cougs did? A recap of everything else that went down in the tournament over the weekend. It's the Paul Gallant Show, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Cougs will play Purdue in the Sweet 16 Friday night. It's been a rather disappointing NCAA tournament. We noticed that after round one, for those not paying attention, the average margin of victory in round one was 16.7 points, the highest ever. 10 wins were by 25 points plus, also the most ever. No 13 seed, 14 seed, 15 seed, or 16 seed in the second round for the first time since 2017, and just the sixth time since the tournament expanded in 1985. And on top of that, we didn't even get a buzzer beater in the first round. The closest thing we had was UC San Diego chucking up a prayer, hoping to tie things against Michigan. They missed. Also, in the, I guess that would have been round, nope, that was round one. We also saw a very, very, very underwhelming, very sad, very pathetic final shot by, who? It was against Baylor, right? Mississippi Baylor.
Mississippi State Baylor, yeah.
They had a chance at it, but they airballed the bejesus out of it. So that was it in round one. Well, here's round two. We did get a buzzer beater, Maryland over Colorado State, and we did have 3-1 score games. But it was an average margin of victory of 9.375 points. And the seeds remaining, 4-1 seeds, 3-2 seeds, 2-3 seeds, 3-4 seeds, a 5, 2 sixes, and a 10. Arkansas is the lowest remaining seed.
Cinderella.
They're coached by John Calipari.
And they have, I think they have a couple NBA prospects on their team.
Correct. Because John Calipari's coaching. I'm just assuming that they have a bunch of NBA prospects there. All the schools left are Power 5, or I guess Power 4. 7 SEC teams are left. Auburn, Ole Miss, shout out to Chris Beard. Florida, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama. The Big 12 has 4 teams left. The Cougs. Texas Tech, who ended Drake. BYU, hanging around. Played the Cougs in the championship. They beat Wisconsin, 91-89. Arizona topped Oregon, 87-83. So 4 Big 12 teams. 4 Big 10 teams. Michigan, Michigan State, Maryland, and Purdue. And Duke. It's the 4 biggest conferences. It's close to chalk. Not quite chalk, but it's damn close to chalk. And not a lot of buzzer beaters either. 100% fair to say it was disappointing. And as someone who dumps on everything all the time, like I definitely enjoyed a lot of the NCAA tournament over the weekend, but it was a dud relative to other years.
Yeah, it was a lot of like, oh, this one could be interesting. Like, it's a lot of that where you're hoping for something. Even like the BYU Wisconsin game that was happening basically at the same time as Cougs and Zags, where that was another one where it was a shot to win it, but it was an airball. It was a baseline mid-range airball. Like, where you're just like, what is this? And so, yeah, it's a tough year. A lot of the you know, previews and stuff were was that it was going to be a top-heavy year. But even if it's top-heavy, like I get all the ones and three of the twos making it in, but that we don't get, like, a four seed clipped by a 13 or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what really kind of that's what kind of really throws into focus. That's like, wow, the only double-digit seed that we have in the Sweet 16 is, like, the seventh-best SEC team.
Right. Coached by John Calipari. They upset St. John's. I guess that's the most significant victory of the weekend.
Yeah.
John Calipari in Arkansas beat St. John's 75-66. Cal is 17-13 all time against Rick Pitino, including the NBA, 14-10 in college.
I do like that they included the NBA in that stat.
I'm not going to lie, Sean. I was annoyed that they included that because I was like, wait, now I have to look this up on my own.
Yeah.
Why can't we just have the college scores? Because no one thinks about John Calipari and Rick Pitino in the NBA. They both suck.
The Nets-Celtics matchups.
The two garbage. Like they were terrible in the NBA, for what it's worth. Very good college basketball coaches. Terrible in the NBA. That game was rather ticky-tack with all the fouls, but that's really the biggest upset of the first two weekends of play. A St. John's team that probably overachieved this year under Rick Pitino and lost to Arkansas, who has John Calipari-style players.
Yes, and they combined to shoot 9% from the three-point line.
Yeah.
They shot like 2-for-20.
Oof, yeah. It wasn't the best game. I believe I was watching that game as I went into the Brooks and Dunn concert, the second to last concert of the rodeo. Phew. I'm so glad it's over. I had a lot of fun, but I'm so glad it's over. Especially the last 2 days because it was just so crowded walking around. I was hanging out with some girls and they're like, let's go to the Hala. So we're walking across the entirety of the carnival grounds through thousands and thousands and thousands of people, only to get to this place which has a line that's a good football field long. And then this girl who wanted to go so badly, even though I said, the line's going to be terrible, and we got to go across the carnival, and we're going to have to walk through people, and it's going to be terrible. It's going to be like going to Mordor. At least at the end of that, those guys got to go to like fake Hobbit heaven. But no, we went through this only to turn around and go all the way back. Oh, we didn't have no eagles flying us out. What?
That sucks. The Eagles didn't pick you up?
No Eagles flying us out. It would have been great. We get there, and this girl's like, oh, I don't want to go now. And we were like, yes, we knew you wouldn't want to go. You knew you wouldn't want to go, Bridget. Gosh. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, the NCAA tournament. It's largely been disappointing. Largely been disappointing, but some of the other big things that took place. UConn's three-peat, done. Florida topped UConn.
That was a decent game.
77-75 it was. Walter Clayton, Florida's point guard. He's pretty awesome. And after the game, Dan Hurley wasn't so thrilled. Dan Hurley, he's an angry fellow from time to time. He's the villain that college basketball needs. He's the... What's Bill Murray's character name in Kingpin?
Oh.
Okay, McCracken.
All of his character names, I'm just like, that's Bill Murray.
I think it's McCracken. But, I mean, that's what Dan Hurley is. He's a fantastic heel for college basketball. And after the game's done, right away, like he has not even left the arena yet, right away on the way out, he starts talking some trash. Dumping on the refs. Hey. Hope you guys don't get screwed over, Baylor. Hope you guys don't get screwed over. Does the audio play? It was kind of faint.
Well, I know he says they bleeped us. I haven't got a chance to bleep the...
I figured. See, it's one of those things where Hurley, he is who he is. It's fun to see a guy go down, but you wanted a guy to go down a little bit later. That was the fun upset I was hoping for, even though I cannot stand UConn, was a victory over Florida right there. So you can keep the three-peat going and you get a little more Dan Hurley in our lives. But didn't end up happening. Other noteworthy things in the tournament. Damn it, Aggies. Aggies. I need you to stop Aggieing. Whoop. I need you to stop doing that. 10-point lead? 14 to play? Michigan's best player's first name is Vladislav? Some random Russian who's not fighting against the Ukrainians is randomly kicking your ass?
By the way, that's the guy who we talked about earlier in this season that proposed to his girlfriend after a loss.
Oh. Well, good for him.
After a loss?
I had no idea his first name was Vladislav. And I was like, did this guy just like escape conscriptions in either Russia or Ukraine to go play basketball at Michigan? He's a draft dodger. This one, just kidding. But the Aggies, come on. And also, sort of like with the Cougs, they just forgot how to play.
I was going to say that was the game where like the team doesn't recover and end up winning. Like they actually just melt down.
They completely melt. And it was, you know, 14 minutes of melting down. And I was watching it in with a bunch of Aggies, and they were all like, this always happens to us. Of course this happens to us. And I was like, oh, God. I feel for the Aggies. But they keep on Aggieing. So outside of that, again, largely underwhelming first and second round of the tournament. But our beloved Cougs are still alive. You got a lot of Power 5 conference teams left. In fact, all Power 5 conference teams, 7 SEC teams, 4 Big 12, 4 Big 10, Duke. So hopefully the next round will deliver a little bit more, but this one was rough. And even though things have largely gone chalk, all brackets imperfect, which I do like that. If it's one thing for that, you know, chubby fella, Amir Khan, to get six figures as a manager, even though he's not even working during the game. But it's another thing for somebody to get a perfect bracket during a year like this. I would have been very upset about
it. You want him to earn it a little bit?
I did. I have two friends who have been doing very well. One of them is she has devised a system, and basically she made picks based off of what men were expected to pick. So she looked up online and saw that a majority of men are picking Duke to win the whole thing. She made multiple brackets for the same group, and two of them were like in the top three. And I'm like, are you serious? I thought putting no thought into it was how it works. But no, this girl put a lot of thought into it.
I don't even know how you look up that data.
I don't either. I don't either. And love her. She's blonde. Would never have guessed this entirely because of the color of her hair. Would never have guessed she was capable of all this. Another one of my buddies was in the 99th percentile. So when things started to not necessarily go his way yesterday, I may or may not have been trolling him. I've really been a hater these last couple of days. I'm not going to lie. I hate Amir Khan. I'm hating on the tournament. I'm a little bit jealous. A little bit jealous. So everyone got brought down to my level. So I like that. I like that kind of thing. Anyway, guys, you can jump in on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call in, to text. And Todd the Show asks, can you redshirt as a manager to stay in school longer? I would.
I saw a story, and this might have been a joke. This might have been just people on the internet having a laugh. Because there's a lot of time to think of this joke because they got blown out so bad. That Amir Khan is leaving McNeese with Will Wade to go to NC State.
The dream is dead.
He's hitting the portal for student managers as well.
Oof, I didn't know that existed. I mean, this is the first, I think, ever, right?
Again, this might be a joke that he's leaving with the coach, but we'll see.
If it's not a joke, I'm just going to be sad and bitter with my life. My failures and my shortcomings.
Hopefully he doesn't get a scholarship, all right? Hopefully he has to pay his own way. Yeah. Use some of that B-dubs money to pay your way.
Yeah, exactly. No, that would be funny if they like revoke his scholarship. It's like, hey, this money you're getting, this is now what you're going to use as your scholarship to go to this university, to hang out with Will Wade a little bit more. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Another comment. This isn't nice. The student manager says James feels very make-a-wish kid. Hey, he doesn't look like that. He doesn't look like he's dying, and he doesn't look like he's special needs or anything like that. He's just an unassuming fellow, and I'm jealous of him. But good for him. He's got that, and I'll never have it. He is the most famous student manager in college basketball history. Period. Up next, the Astros are closer and closer to opening day. It's Thursday, and they made some roster cutdowns, but that's not the big news coming out of Astros camp this weekend. It's what they are not doing before the end of this season. We'll talk about it next. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. A couple of different texts. Someone texts in, hey, what about my Red Raiders? That's true. Texas Tech did advance. We apologize for the omission. They look pretty good themselves. Very, very easy victory for the Red Raiders to advance to the Sweet 16. They took down, in case you missed it, Drake, who also had a fun little run. But I don't know if you're a Cinderella seed as an 11 seed. Very summary dispatching. 77-64, they beat him, and then Drake lost their head coach. Ben McCollum's going to Iowa, and Sean Miller, Xavier's head coach, took out Texas in the NCAA tournament's play-in game. They are hiring Sean Miller away from the team who knocked him out. They're firing Rodney Terry. So there you go. Happy with that hire, Sean? You got a guy from Xavier coming in?
Pretty good. Pretty good. He has more 30-win seasons in his personal history than Texas basketball does.
And Xavier, if I'm not mistaken, one of those teams, always a little scrappy. Always a little scrappy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he's gotten two Xavier stints.
Yeah.
Because in the middle, he was coaching Arizona.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, he's made four Elite Eights. Like, this guy's good. This guy's good. Hopefully, I don't know. Let's get a couple runs in.
Yes.
That's all I'm asking for, really. It's just like a couple. All
right, that's
give me,
it?
Give me a couple Elite Eights.
That's it. I mean, it's Texas. It should happen. But, hey.
It doesn't.
Hey, it doesn't. You're right. At the very least, listen, the Aggies are out in round two. So you got that going for you. From the 409, I'm dreaming of a UH versus Texas Tech championship. That would be sick. Because we didn't get it in the Big 12 title. We should have, and that's Tech's fault. That is on you, Tech. You guys F that one up. Come on. What are we doing here? You can't lose to Arizona. Can't lose to Arizona.
No, can't do that.
Although, hey, you know, to Arizona's credit, they're still alive too. I mean, pretty good showing by the Big 12. To this point.
Yeah.
Four teams left. The Cougs, Texas Tech, BYU, and Arizona. Baylor, thanks for trying. Duke is a wagon. Yeah. Yeah, you had no chance in that one.
That was a real, like, okay, so Duke is, like, for real, for
Duke
real.
Is scary.
Duke is, like, really for real.
Yes,
okay, got it.
For sure.
Especially playing right after Florida, who's kind of, like, the popular, I think they are the most popular tournament winner pick. You know, has a good game with UConn, gets pushed by UConn.
Yeah.
And the next game, it's just like, oh, okay, so I have 2 free hours here while they finish up beating the hell out of Baylor. Okay, cool.
From the 832, 12:12 p.m., and Paul is already hating on someone doing better than him. Such a bitter man. But see, here's the thing. Here's the difference. And I'm going to turn this into a flex. How many people would admit that they're jealous of some portly student manager? I am. I'm admitting it. I'm not too ashamed to admit it. The people who are annoyed with him online, that's how they all feel. But they won't actually say, like, I'm annoyed that some chubby guy who's just walking around with a boombox is going to get 6 figures. Yeah. It's less effort than DJ Khaled, you know?
It is.
Who puts very little effort into anything just based off of the way that he has people carry him around and the way that he brags about how he doesn't please his lady, which I think is an indictment on him as a man. But, hey, it's fine. It's fine. I'm a bitter person, but I at least admit I'm a bitter person. You can never accuse me of dishonesty. You can't. I'm like George Washington, except for a hater. Yeah. Imagine if George Washington was, like, getting bitter during the Revolutionary War. He's like, why are we giving all the frogs this credit, huh? This is me. I led us through the winter at Valley Forge. You know? That would be me as George Washington, like, after French. Get out of here. Go have a revolution.
You know what? We're going to war with you now.
Yeah, we're taking you on. Just a nice little Game of Thrones backstabbing. From the 414, can't wait for Amir Khan to become a 92.5 producer after college. Well,
hey.
We'd take him, gladly.
Yeah.
We would.
You free on weekends?
Yeah.
Amir Khan?
That would be funny. It's the bullpen. Brian McDonald. Amir Khan. Next on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hey, the Houston Astros are closer and closer to opening day. Some cuts were made. John Singleton, bye-bye. It seems the best shape of his life, not enough to get him a roster spot. We'll see if he clears waivers and if he accepts a minor league role with the Astros. Ben Gamel, cut. Luis Guillorme didn't make the opening day roster, which is good news for Brendan Rodgers, who the Astros signed as a second baseman, won a gold glove with the Colorado Rockies. Rodgers might be your second baseman. Rafael Montero made the team. That's noteworthy. There are some injuries going on with the Astros bullpen, so that might be a part of it. I think Forrest Whitley probably going to start injured list, but did throw 95 off of a flat surface for what that's worth.
Isn't Ort also out?
Caleb Ort also out. You're right, Sean. And they have two roster spots available for seemingly three guys. So we're going to at least have one fun prospect on the Astros to open up the year. Chandler Rome believes two roster spots for three guys, Cam Smith, Zach DiCenzo, and Cooper Hummel. Hummel's apparently had a very good spring. So I don't know what that puts the percentage chance at Cam Smith making the opening day roster. But to me, this all pales in comparison to the big news that we heard courtesy of Brian McTaggart. Framber Valdez, Astros opening day starter, said this on Friday. He has not been approached about an extension and likely hits free agency at the season's end. This is a tricky one, right? On one hand, Framber statistically is one of the top five pitchers in baseball over the last couple of years. Durability, ERA. He has been incredibly consistent since he shook off that World Series against the Braves. For the most part. There, of course, are the occasional, what is he thinking? But if you take a look at the body of work, he has been incredibly consistent and relatively durable compared to most other starters in baseball over that stretch. Is this another person you can afford to let walk? Because it's very doubtful that the Astros trade Framber Valdez at the trade deadline while he's still on the books, barring some sort of absolutely disastrous season. On the other hand, you have his what is he doing moments, which happen. Sometimes they happen in the playoffs. Recently, the last couple of years, he has been very disappointing in the playoffs, specifically the last two seasons, no matter what he's been in the regular season along the way. Can you really afford to let this one walk? Especially when you realize that the Astros have a lot of salary leaving the books after this season's done. Are you going to let this guy walk, or is this something that the Astros actually come back to the table and try to get a deal done with? It's definitely not a good sign that this is where things are at this moment in time, that he hasn't even been approached about an extension. If you are the Astros and you want to keep this guy around, you'd probably already have done it, at least if it was some sort of a serious offer. So are they going to do like they did with Alex Bregman, where they feign interest and respect everything that the guy has done here, but don't actually put together a serious offer for him? I think it's on the table. This is one of those ones where I'm glad I don't have to make the decision. I think I would make it happen, though. I mean, the problem that you have right now, all this depth that you have from a pitching perspective, all your guys are hurt. You know? I mean, Christian Javier, where does he start the year? 60-day IL? Luis Garcia just had a setback. Conceptually, you have an incredible amount of pitching depth, but Lance McCullers, we finally saw him for the first time in a while last week. How long is that going to last, you know? Hate to say it like that. And then you got this guy who, of all the pitchers with this Astros barber surgeon medical staff that seemingly has guys losing their Tommy Johns once a week, and I'm exaggerating a lot here, but this guy's been a model of consistency. Is there some way that you can keep him around, at least on some sort of short-term deal that makes sense? Can you do something for 3 years, 4 years? Is it possible to bring him back for a couple, especially considering you will have more money to play with after this coming season? They definitely have to think about it. I hope that this is not a period. This Framber Valdez saying on Sunday that, or excuse me, on Friday, that he has not been approached about an extension and that he'll likely hit free agency at season's end. I really hope that some conversations are had between now and the end of the regular season, because this is a guy that, no matter how crazy he gets, is going to be really hard to replace.
I don't think there's any chance he comes back.
I'm having a hard time seeing it, too. He's left-handed, as Todd the Show brings up.
Here's a guy who signed this offseason, this past offseason. Are you prepared to give Framber Valdez Max Fried money? 8 years, $218
million? No.
How about Blake Snell money? 5 years, $182.
Oh, damn. That's how much that is.
Yeah. This is just it's not realistic that the Astros are going to sign Framber Valdez to this kind of money.
Can they do the little,
That's why I don't even think they're going to feign interest. They're just going to be like, yeah, come on.
Can they do the wink, wink, nudge, nudge? Hey, remember all the times we wore the jersey you wanted? Hey, remember those times? Hey, the wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Hey, listen, you understand how grateful you are to be here. They'll pull one of those. You know how grateful you should be? Honestly, I hope they do pull it, though. I mean, from the Dominican Republic.
Yeah. So, hey, we signed you for wasn't it $5,000?
Probably $3.
You had to try out in the dark with car headlights so you could see the play.
I think that might have been Ronel Blanco, but honestly, all these stories sound exactly the same.
They all got signed for a ham sandwich.
Yes, and, pretty much.
And are grateful. Yeah, I mean, Framber going to be 32 at the start of next season.
You're saying all the right things to talk me out of it, is it worth the overpay considering some of the guys that you have overpaid over the last couple of years? It's hard to find a lefty like that. I do think there's a very good chance that by the end of the year, Hunter Brown is your ace. Now, I know his last outing, not so great.
He's working on stuff.
Yeah, of course. Of course, he probably said that.
Anytime anyone's bad in spring training, hey, he's working. Oh man, I'm not going to be able to say that anymore until.
Yeah, that's it. This was it.
Damn. But maybe some rehab starts.
Saturday, he had thrown 15 balls and 12 strikes at a certain point in his performance on Saturday. But, and perhaps this was a glitch. But per Chandler Rome, either the radar gun at the ballpark is a little hot, or Hunter Brown just threw 103 miles per hour in his final Grapefruit League start. You decide.
I don't think he threw 103 miles per hour. 103 is so fast.
I mean, if he threw 103 miles per hour, ace, immediately.
He only did it once. That's the thing.
No, that's enough. That's enough. You can hit 103, that's enough. It's over. Hashtag Diesel.
Okay.
I want to believe that so bad, but I also am taking that with a grain of salt. I think it probably is. The Seltzer ballpark radar gun is a little hot. Just a little hot. Little hot. Anyway, guys, you want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Can the Astros afford to let Framber Valdez walk? That's on the table. Also, Amen Thompson continues to prove to everybody he's already a star with something he did over the weekend. Stay put.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? Download it now in your app store.
It's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Cougs are on to the Sweet 16 for the sixth straight year, and the Astros have not approached Framber Valdez about an extension. If you want to weigh in on those two stories on the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. As far as Framber goes on the Twitch, King of Twitch says, Fromber has the best spin I've seen in a long-ass time. It's not replicable. Replicable? I don't know. Whatever. You get what I'm trying to say. Emulatable.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Replaceable. That works, too. Sorry. King of Twitch, you confused me there. I'm just reading what I see on the computer screen. If he ever figures out how to not be a head case, he's a Cy Young winner. Will that ever happen? I don't know. If you've listened to me in this time slot long enough, when I was doing the show with Joe, who, by the way, still works at the station, saw him in the hallway on the way in. He's asking me, hey, Paul, how's your black lung going? And I said, it's fine. I'm only coughing a little bit now. Oh, well, that was a real cough there. You would know that I already believe Amen Thompson is a star. There's something about him. His explosiveness, his second to none athleticism. When he's on a basketball court, he just looks different than everybody else out there. And considering he is a very raw, undeveloped player from an offensive perspective, and this is just his second year, the fact that he jumps off the screen athletically compared to so many different players, to me, that means he's already a star. But we got to add something else to the repertoire. For those who remember a rather inconsequential late December game between the Rockets and Heat, you'd know that Amen Thompson got ejected and suspended for 2 games for body slamming Tyler Hero. After the game, Tyler Hero, who played well in that game, got very cocky and had this to say.
You and Thompson exchanging words. How did it all really kind of spark off there?
Just two competitors going at it, playing basketball.
And that it got a little out of hand. It's not every single night that you have all of those texts and all of those ejections. Was it building to that, or was it just a standard physical game that just had one of those igniting moments?
Just a physical game. I guess that's what happens when someone's scoring, throwing dimes, doing the whole thing. So I get mad too.
A great player hears a comment like that and tucks it away and remembers. There's a pettiness to the all-time greats in every sport that, in the eyes of many, you'd consider to be psychopathic. But if you could take something like that and put it in the back of your mind, what happens when you play that guy again? So Friday night, Amen Thompson went up against Tyler Hero. And it's a shame that this game took place on Friday and not yesterday, because I might have let off with this. But on Friday, Amen Thompson literally bullied Tyler Hero. Go to Clutch Fans, their Twitter profile, their X profile. It is just highlight after highlight after highlight after highlight of Amen Thompson cooking Tyler Hero in every which way he could, stealing the ball from him. He had 7 steals on Friday. Most of them were from Tyler Hero. He was driving coast to coast through Tyler Hero. This was like Tom Brady when somebody talked trash against him, specifically going out of his way to target one player and just shove it up his you-know-what. I was so impressed by Amen Thompson and that performance. Here's the stat line in a plus 20 performance. 18 points, 8 of 14 from the field, 9 boards, 5 assists, 7 steals and a block. And just one foul along the way. Honestly, I kind of want a little more shovey-shovey. We had talked about that on Friday. I want a little bit of fisticuffs, a little football on my basketball. Nope, Amen Thompson didn't play that. Instead, Amen Thompson just kicked Tyler Hero's ass up and down the court. And then after the game, the cherry on top, it's very clear this game was personal for Thompson.
You told me this morning at shoot-around you had a little bit of extra motivation since the scuffle with Tyler Hero last time. How would you assess your performance tonight against Hero?
I mean, I thought Fred really, you know, set the tone on him. And then, you know, my place to guard him, you know. I mean, he wasn't doing the thing, so, this time, so, yeah.
He wasn't doing the thing this time, you know. Very clearly, he took it personally. And the fact that he kicked Tyler Hero's ass while taking it personally, it's another sign this guy's the star of the Houston Rockets. And I get it. Jalen Green still got upside. He's young. And Alperen Şengün is huge and can do so many things with the basketball. But I think somebody who puts that in the back of his mind only to absolutely expose a player who he got into a back and forth with, a shoving match with months ago, to perform like that all these months later and single-handedly take it to Tyler Hero like that, it's a great sign. I love it. There's not many players that have that, like, I want to kill you energy. And I'm not sure if Thompson's quite that far. You know, he's not like Isaiah Stewart, I want to kill you. But, like, this is, I see this guy out here, I am going to embarrass him. Like, that's what Michael Jordan would do. That's what Larry Bird would do. And again, extreme comparisons. But if you have that in your golf bag, I think it's a great sign. So that excited me on Friday to see Amen Thompson do that.
Yeah, it's one of those like small test kind of things of like, okay, he does have some MF-er in him. Because you have to be a little bit of like that to be truly great. And it was a rewarding performance. In his first game back from injury, too. So
yeah.
He was like, I am coming back tonight. I'm coming back tonight to do this to that guy.
Hashtag built different.
Yeah, he is built different.
Arms folded in front of your chest.
Is he built for this?
For real built for this. Kind of want to see if he can play outfield for the Astros.
Probably could.
So everyone else is trying it.
He's tall enough.
He's definitely tall enough. Hey, Cam Smith apparently had a catch that had a 5% catch probability. Now, there's no way to know this, but Michael Schwab said it, so I'm just going to roll with it. Just going to roll with it. What's funny is, like, couldn't even catch it on the camera. It's one of those things where the camera zooms over, and then there is Cam Smith, like, running underneath it. But apparently it was a 5% catch probability for a catch that he easily made on the run.
There we go. Change your probabilities. Mm-hmm. You got Cam Smith patrolling the right field.
He's taking it personally while listening to Bob Marley. And yeah. Amen Thompson's taking it personally, thinking about vengeance at all times.
He is vengeance.
Ooh, yeah. Is he going to learn to be more than vengeance like Batman, or is he just going to stay vengeance? I kind of hope he just stays vengeance.
at least one more Heat Rockets game.
Mm-hmm.
Be vengeance.
Sean Mapes behind the glass on Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant show ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5.